Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Hey everyone, this is DJ.
And this is Ish.
And this is Season 7 of Better Let Me Tell You. What's a boom, 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 kind of boom,
no, that's boom, 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 boom.
Well, I was going with a boom, boom.
Oh, okay, okay. I thought you were...
You don't know that song? Are You Ready For It? That's Taylor Swift.
Oh, that's why.
Oh.
No, no, because I don't really know her catalog.
Well, actually, I don't really know that song all too well.
Like, outside of her singles, I really don't know her music.
That is a single. I don't, oh, but okay. that song, I don't, I whatever. And anyway, let's move on from that. Welcome, everybody, to episode 290 of... Better Let Me Tell You. Actually, you know why I know that song? Because that song was one of those like meme songs a couple of years back or whenever okay. that like every other reel had used that it. Song. And like, it would start, Are You Ready For It? Boom, with like a heavy beat, bass.
The way that all the reels now use the Saint Texas. Texas Hold'em.
Oh my God. The Saint Texas. Welcome to episode 290, everybody. How yes. is everybody? We are gearing towards the end of March.
Yeah, we're just barreling away. Easter's around the corner.
Yeah, yeah.
Which means that it's already back to school at Dollar Tree.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. I think that should just be like in every episode we should be
talking
like,
about holidays.
What seasonal things does Dollar Tree have today? You know, ahorita, especially since Dollar Tree gets a lot of their, well, all their stuff from China. Sure. Like, I'm sure there's things that trickle down there for like holidays we don't celebrate in the U.S.
Oh, yeah. Like, I'm sure there's a lot of Boxing Day material.
Yes, or May Day.
Yeah.
Boxing Day is in England, in the U.K.
And Canada.
In the Canada, too?
Yeah.
And it's the day after Christmas, right?
Yes, yes.
Why is it Boxing Day?
The idea is that you are donating, since you got all the stuff on Christmas, you're donating things you don't want, and so you're boxing it up to give to charity.
Oh, so it has nothing to do with boxing?
No.
Like boxing matches?
No, like fighting? No.
Oh, what a letdown.
You thought that was just when people got to air out their grievances and kick each other's
no,
ass?
No, you know how like Thanksgiving or around that time, it's like football?
Right. Oh, okay.
You I thought it was, that in the UK. You mean I'm all Mr. I'm an Anglophile and I didn't know. I knew about Boxing Day, but I don't know. I thought, I don't know, maybe 100 years ago, like the Brits used to.
Like after Christmas was the first boxing match of the matches, year.
It was yeah. boxing season, seasons for the Brits.
Oh,
really?
Yeah.
I don't know. Why didn't they call it Goodwill Day or like Salvation Army?
Because maybe because they probably didn't have those things when this was created.
Ugh. Well, and the London Bridge is in, like, Tennessee or something.
Yeah, it's still falling down.
Actually, it's not.
No, they fixed it?
Oh. No, I forget which state it's in, but it's somewhere, is it in the Midwest? But it's, like, southern Midwest.
Oh, really?
That the London Bridge in London, they, this was a while ago, they had it, like, in storage because it was dismantled. And then some years ago, this city, and I should know the city if I'm talking about it, this city.
You can't know everything.
bought the dismantled bridge and built it, and they wanted it to be a tourist attraction. And it has, not only is it the bridge, London Bridge proper, it has the light posts.
Oh, so it's like
the original light posts,
a full kit,
right? And it has, you know, some of like the red telephone boxes.
Oh,
but that's just for decoration at this point.
Oh yeah, photo op.
And it's they did it to become a tourist attraction.
Well, we should go. If we can figure out where it is.
Yeah, somewhere here in the US, there's the real London Bridge. And no, London Bridge is not the Tower Bridge, right, in London. So, yeah.
Oh, look at that. I also like the idea of the bridge just being like, you want to buy a bridge? I mean, I have one for sale.
Well, that's sort of like, you know, the Spanish monastery down here?
Yeah.
It's really from Spain.
Really?
Yes, that monastery was in Spain. I forgot what part of Spain, and it was dismantled and it was brought here. That's why a lot of times I say, "Oh, the oldest building in Florida is not in St. Augustine. It's down here in the Miami area or Miami-Dade area, because of the Spanish monastery." And that's a technicality, like,
right, yes, the building it itself, right,
the building itself, but it was brought here. I don't know how long it's been here, but it's been, right, under 100 right, years, right. And it was a dismantled monastery that was from Spain, and it was brought over. How many ships did it take to bring that over?
Don't ask the imagine, owl from the Tootsie Pop.
Imagine the how do you number all those stones?
That's the ultimate IKEA.
I mean, I think you start at one.
Yeah, well, yes, you start at one, and then, you know.
Unless you start at like 01, 02, 03.
Yeah, because you can't use the alphabet for that one.
No. Yeah, imagine putting that together.
Oh, yeah, no. That's a lot more complex than putting together the like flur flur or whatever from IKEA.
I like the lock.
The lock.
The lock. And the bookshelves are?
They're all rivers, right?
Billy. So it says,
no, which is one that's
Billy is the bookshelf.
Oh, okay.
The Billy bookshelf. They say, I don't know how true this is. I need to ask a Swede.
Okay. Phone a Swede. You know what?
Pedro Primos, yes. If you're out there. So I had always heard that all the names in IKEA, of all the items, you know how they have Swedish names. I had heard that it was bodies of water in Sweden. Now, while that sounds very plausible, I mean, there's like 1 million or more items in IKEA, and IKEA's been around for like 50 years. Right. So, is it?
That's a lot of bodies of water.
Yeah, but you know what? Sweden, like in northern Sweden, it's like really like north. So, I don't know. Maybe it's like one of these things that it's like a bunch of like millions of like little islands. Like, I don't know.
Like canals.
You know, little archipelagos. Like, I don't know. So, listeners out there, if you can confirm whether the names that you see in IKEA items really are bodies of water in Sweden, I would actually love to know.
That makes two of us.
So listen, Pedro Primos, give us, put it in the comments.
Yes. Yeah. Let us know. Yeah, exactly. Or send us an email. A bunch of Pedro Primos lately have been sending us emails and DMs based on our topics. Yes, and yes. I freaking love it.
That's why we're Pedro Primos. I love it. So, you know, what's like really weird shifting from IKEA and Sweden.
As one does.
And Sweden. You know, it'd be great. Okay. Before we shift from IKEA, imagine driving home from IKEA after buying a lot of things in IKEA,
right,
while driving a Volvo station wagon, listening to Ace of Base.
Wow. Eating a meatball.
Eating meatballs. I mean,
that's a lot of Swedish.
I mean, I'm totally down for it.
And then afterwards for dessert, you have a Swedish fish.
Yeah, and you're wearing the Swedish chef t-shirt.
Yes. There's going, borscht, borscht, borscht.
I mean, that's a lot of Sweden, yeah, which I'm totally okay with. I'm totally okay with.
But that's a lot of Sweden.
That's a lot of Sweden. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's more Sweden than a lot of Swedes.
I think that's more Sweden than the country.
I don't think there's a podcast that's talking about the Swedes more than we are right now.
Even Swedish podcasts aren't talking this much about Sweden.
How many Swedish podcasts are there?
More than you think, but less than you know.
I don't think I have said Sweden more in the last 1 minute than I have in the last 10 years. Whatever I said. Which, by the way, here in Miami, they just made IKEA bigger.
Yeah, I know. Well, yeah, we noticed that the other day on the window pop-up. Yeah.
Like, they just like almost doubled the size of IKEA.
You know what that, you know, because what that means?
It wasn't big enough.
You know what that means? What? They found more bodies of water.
I guess. I mean, I'm here for it. I love IKEA. So
I haven't been in a while.
I just love going to IKEA. It's funny because sometimes I go for just one item. One item. Mm-hmm. I know where it's at in the warehouse.
Doesn't matter.
I could just go in and get. But I like going through the showroom.
You have to go through the showroom. Yeah, I like going through the showroom. Yeah. It's like Swedish law. If not, they come and they take you to one of their beautiful prisons.
Right? Welcome to our beautiful manicured, you know.
The only catch is you have to build your own prison first.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, okay. So now we're officially moving from Sweden.
Okay.
Okay. You know, the other day I was at Subway and maybe you knew this or I don't know, or maybe listeners, you've seen this when you've gone to Subway recently. You know they have a one foot cookie now?
Oh, a 1 foot cookie, a 1 foot churro, and a 1 foot pretzel.
A churro?
Yeah.
In Subway?
Yeah.
Subway is selling churros.
Well, they're selling churros, but they say churro.
Then it's not a churro.
You know, it's churro.
It's a microwavable, you know.
I'm sure. I have not had the chance to have any of them because the last time I went to Subway, they had run out of all of them.
Okay, what is more American than a 1 foot cookie? Or a one foot churro? A churro. With dulce leche?
Oh my God, that irks me so hard.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I can't think of anything more American than just like, you know what? A cookie in its round shape? No. No, that's not enough. We have to make it a tube.
Yeah. So listeners, if you want to be amused... Because I think our Beto Primos, you know, we're in a similar wavelength. So I think a lot of them will find, you know, not that we have the same sense of humor, but they would find humor in a lot of the things we mention here. So if you want to laugh at the Americanness of it all, there's so much content on YouTube, like people that are European, especially Brits, right, coming to the U.S. for the first time and going to Walmart.
Oh.
And they're like... They're in Walmart, and they're like, why does anybody need a five, or like BJ's or Costco, like, why does anybody need a 5 pound like bottle of mayonnaise?
We do.
Okay, but we're different, right? Why does anybody need, you know, 10 packs of this? And I love watching these videos, and one of the things that a person, I forgot what country they were from. I think they were French, and they were coming to the U.S., and she said this, and I was like, oh my God, that's so true. I had never thought about it that way. That she's like, why isn't in the U.S. all car dealers are so patriotic and they're filled with American flag, even if they're Toyotas, right?
Oh.
It's not like, okay, Chevy,
or a Volvo.
It's not like Chevy has all these American flags, right? And it's like, buy American. No, even Toyota, Kia, Hyundai, like
Mercedes, doesn't matter.
They're full of American flags.
Why are the car dealers so patriotic? Know.
I mean, I'm not hating on it, but it's like, I don't know. But
it's a good question.
I mean...
Like did Washington cross the Delaware on a Corolla?
I don't know. Maybe. I mean, everybody has a Corolla. Yeah, you know? A
Civic.
I mean, imagine if it was... Imagine if it was in car dealers, it was like mini storages. Like... Mini storages are patriotic.
Super patriotic.
Or like dentist offices. American flags everywhere.
I can't think of anything less... patriotism than a dentist office. That's about pain. That's not about patriotism.
But patriotism is pain.
I guess it depends who you talk to.
Well, oh, that's a bad time to talk about that now.
Yes, I was gonna say, depends on who you're chatting with. Yeah.
But yeah, those videos are really funny because, you know...
That's funny. I thought they had like wholesale places in the UK. For some reason, I thought...
I think they do, but...
Not to the extent that we do.
The Americanness of it all. Like... Everything here is supersized and extra, extra large. Yeah,
by nature.
And, you know, I don't want to get into that argument of, like, consumerism and all that because that's not the reason I'm bringing this up. Yeah, yeah. It's just that other countries, especially European countries, everything is not so large.
Yeah, well, a restaurant portion is smaller. Right,
so when they come here, they're like, but why do you need, like, so much of this? You know, that's like, for example, you know what I think is like the biggest lie in the world? You know when you buy laundry detergent, it's like, oh, that's 25 loads.
Oh, yeah, when they tell you like it's mostly water or whatever. It's
25 loads. Yeah. We'll have the number on the bottle. I'm like, this shit gets me through like maybe 6 cycles. Like,
really? What's that's it?
How much detergent are you using?
Well, I mean, I'm also just one person.
Okay, well, but...
No, I'm saying
I put a whole cup.
No. I'm saying this is a household.
Well.
You guys do more laundry than I do. Hold on. That's what I'm saying. You guys do more laundry than I do.
Hold on. But we, you know, Bing Bamboyo is a big part of that.
This is true. This is true.
Because every week we watch the Bing Bamboyo stuff over and over and over and over again.
This is true. This is true. I was speaking again as a person who lives by himself.
No, but you also have like a small right. But
I just do less laundry to begin with.
Even when I do laundry for just myself, I still put in a lot of laundry detergent. I want that thing clean.
Oh, okay, I use the little
pods.
Yeah,
you're a pod person.
Wow, that sounds like I just came off a spaceship. I'm a pod person just because it's easier to store in my apartment. The little bag with the pods in it is easier to store under the sink than un cole de detergente.
Wow. So much efficiency. Oye, viste que apareció la Kate Middleton.
Okay, what was going on with Kate Middleton?
I don't know what was going on with Kate Middleton.
But what was it, Leo? Like, what are people, like, all I kept hearing about was, like, she's missing, we haven't seen her, and blah, blah. I'm like, I don't think I remember the last time I saw her anyway.
Well, no, because
no, but what I mean is, like, it's not something that consumed my
right. But my, I mean, thoughts. They make a lot of public appearances. You know, when they want to open up an envelope or something like that, there are the royals, and you know, as a royal, you're always seen. You know, paparazzi's following you and all that. But the thing is that she had
a medical emergency.
She had a scheduled, abdominal surgery, and this was like right around Christmas time or before Christmas time, and they said she wasn't going to be making public appearances until Easter. So a lot of people are like, but you know, she's a young person, she's healthy, why does it take her 4 months to recover from this? You know,
let me tell you something. I didn't have abdominal surgery, but when they took out my appendix, you feel it in your stomach. Like, you don't realize how much you use your abs just to like exist.
Right.
So if she's having abdominal surgery, that is a recuperation period.
I wonder if hers went boom, cheeky, boom, cheeky, boom.
Well, no, it's British, so hers went boom.
If you know, you know.
Or oh bother.
Well, it's not a Cuban appendix. It's no, a British appendix.
And a royal.
A royal British appendix. Well, she's not really royal. Well, she's royal, but not royal, you know. Ya no viene
de la... Sí, la sangre no...
Yeah,
anyway, la descendencia.
But they finally found her, and I was like, where in the world is Kate Middleton? And I was like, okay, that's great that they found her. Why were we looking for her?
Right.
Anyway? And was she lost?
Right. Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, why was this a thing to begin with?
I mean, you know, the thing is that I guess because Harry and Meghan are a little bit quiet now, they're living their lives, they need something. Now they were like, he's having an affair and all that. Like, who knows? I mean, who knows what really was going on? What is still going on? Right. Who knows? And it's like, I don't say who cares in terms of a dismissive way, because I don't like saying who cares. That's dismissive. Right, but
is it really that big a deal?
But like, these people live their lives. Right. I mean, what? Whatever.
What business? Not who cares. What business is it of yours?
Yeah.
Right.
I understand that they're very public, and there's certain things that are going to make news. And the world watches. I mean, heck, I watch. But I mean, there's other things, like during this whole, like, where is Kate Middleton? I'm like, Kate Middleton is like living her life.
Yeah, she's
like,
fine.
She's fine. She's okay. Fine. Like,
trust.
Okay. Yeah. Like, let's focus on other things.
Yeah. So. God knows there's a lot of other things to focus on in the world.
Yes.
Yes. Whether than Kate Middleton has a body double or not.
Oh, yes.
Were you semi-quoting Evita?
No.
Oh, because you said yes. Oh, yes.
Okay, but yes, oh, yes can be anything.
No, I know, but the way you said it, the cadence, reminded me of when Eva and Juan Perón's first meeting in the thing. He said, are you here on your own? Yes. Oh, yes.
Okay. Don't cry for me, Argentina.
Not even a little bit. Not even a little bit. All right. So I wanted to bring something up. This actually happened a couple weeks back, but you know, we had our great guest host last week, and you know, she was fantastic. And I was like, well, maybe
we love Vanessa.
We do love Vanessa. Thank you again for stopping by. But I was like, you know, we got other things to talk about, so I'll table this one a little bit. I had something kind of scary happen to me a couple weeks back, in that I kind of found myself agreeing with Candace Owens about something.
Oh no. Okay, what is it?
All right, so have you heard of the rapper called Lil RT? I'm saying Lil RT. I don't know if it's Lil Rut. I don't know. Okay. Lil RT. Have you heard of him?
Yes.
You have?
Yes.
Okay. Well, listeners, for those of you who don't know, he's a 9-year-old rapper.
Yes. Apparently, I didn't know he was nine, but I knew he was a kid.
Right. He's 9 years old. Now, it's not so much that he's a nine-year-old rapper. It's that he, a couple weeks back, was actually down here in Miami. He was performing at someplace in Little River, in Miami's Little River. There was like a neighborhood party and what have you. And this nine-year-old was flanked by scantily clad women. I don't want to say like strippers because I don't know, but there was lots of ass. And have you heard some of Lil RT's lyrics?
I can't say I have.
Okay, well, I'm gonna regale you with some of now this nine-year-old's lyrics. If she ain't sucking dick, little bitch, you can get the fuck up out my shit. 100 round, hit him with the Glock, take a fucker down. 100 round, bitch, we in that Kia, we gonna take him down. 12, get behind me, we gonna do 60 fucking miles.
I'm sorry. I just...
Not what you thought was gonna come out of my mouth at that moment, was it?
Your cadence, speaking of cadence, was pretty good.
I tried. I rehearsed. And then, so
he couldn't be like, yo, what you want to do? Want to be ballers,
right?
Shot callers, brawlers? No,
right. he couldn't be doing I Wish, you know, for the new millennia. I wish I was a little bit taller. No. So, you know, Candace, it caught you off guard, didn't it?
Yeah.
So, you know, Candace Owens is one of the many people who's been kind of saying, you know, like he's being twerked on by strippers. You know, it's a 9 year old talking about like getting blowjobs and shit. Like, right. What the fuck is that about? And I have to say, yeah, I have to agree with her. Like, what in the holy hell? This is happening blatantly. People are paying to go see it, and yet not a drag queen in sight. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Oh, like, okay. I didn't know you were going that angle with it.
It's the inherent selective outrage, right? Yeah. Right? And, you know, some people came out and said, like, well, you know, but he's rapping about what he's seen. You know, he's had a hard life. Where he's from, whatever. And I'm like, you know what? That may very well be, but I don't care how hard of a life he's had. A nine-year-old should not be singing, rapping, talking about, you know, making money off of things that you are not old enough to do legally. Like shoot a gun and have sex. Mm-hmm. And, you know, she's kind of saying like that the parents should be held liable. And, you know, I don't know how laws work in that sense and whatever, but I have to say, I agree with her. I think this is something that, you know, it's ridiculous and it's crazy that it's being celebrated to whatever degree it is.
So, wow. There's a lot to unpack there. So I see it in two different ways in terms of what you said. Mm-hmm. In terms of, you know, him saying what he's saying and what you said, the drag queen, I mean, look, we've known all along this whole thing with the drag queens is just a culture war.
Right.
They still have inventado.
Sí.
Completely inventado.
As we've said here many times.
Because, you know, as we discussed earlier, especially here in Miami and in South Florida, drag shows and drag culture has existed, I think, as long as like Miami's been incorporated.
Yeah.
It's been a while. It's been a very, very long time. And nobody had an issue with drag queens
until 4 years ago.
But especially here, like nobody did. Like the palace on Ocean Drive has been there for a while. People go to it all the time, like tourists, people from around the world.
Mariloli had a public access TV show.
It's just something that it's there, and if you want to go there, it's there. And nobody ever cared. Nobody ever did anything. In addition to other places where like drag brunches and stuff are big. I remember actually... a few years ago that we went to our house,
mm-hmm.
I remember there was like a kid there. There were a couple of kids there. And, you know, I'm not a fan of drag queen. That's not something I care for. But with that said...
But it's not that you don't care for drag queens. It's just that's not your vibe.
That's not my vibe. Not my thing. Right. But, you know, I appreciate the effort and the art behind it. It's just not my personal thing. And I, you know, but I have gone to a lot of these like drag brunches and stuff like that. I have never seen anything inappropriate that I would feel uncomfortable my kid
saying. Right.
The most I would have to explain to my kid, I'm like, yes, some people are that flexible.
Right, like, yeah. Those death drops, yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
Some people are that flexible. Yeah. I mean, that's about it. But as a parent, if you want to take your kid or not, you don't. That, totally the parent autonomy. But I think that obviously we've always known that this was something that was used as a culture war, you know, that. So in terms of what you were saying, hey, you know, you made such a big deal about drag queens when drag queens weren't, first of all, soliciting children as their main audience.
Right.
True. You know, and those alleged drag queen story hours, you know, from what I know, they were reading kids' stories.
Yeah, like
kids'
Snow White books. Or whatever. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
They weren't reading something.
And they were being sassy, but not like sassy like they are at bingo.
Right. Right.
You know, or
and,
brunch,
you know, and
right.
We also even talked about, yes, there's some drag shows that are very explicit, just like there's comedy shows that are very right. explicit and comedy shows that are family friendly.
Right.
Right, there it runs the gamut. So that's not surprising to me. The hypocrisy of like, oh, down with the drag queens,
right, right,
but
right.
then on the other hand,
you got this kid.
You have this kid. You know, as far as what he's rapping about and all that, I mean, I'm not surprised. We live in an age now, especially with social media, where it's about shock and awe, and that's mm-hmm. what gets you clicks, and that's what gets you engagement and gets you views. So if it's a 9-year-old talking about gangbanging and, you know, sex and strippers and, you know, yeah. sucking this and sucking that, it doesn't surprise me. And, you know, obviously the parents or his guardians are in on this, because a 9-year-old doesn't have, I think, the capacity to
book a gig
to not only book a gig but to write those lyrics. Because my first question is, so who wrote that song?
Right?
When you were saying those lyrics to me, the first thing I thought about, like, so who wrote this? Because, you know, rap is an art.
Absolutely.
You know, it is very much an art form. And yes, rap is about real life. But at 9 years old, I mean, are you really talking about this,
right.
you know, about that, right? And if you are, based on life experience, and boy, you need a therapist.
Yeah, then your home life needs to be examined.
Right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's just a lot to uncover and layers there that, again, in this day and age, that's what people do. And you know, and a lot of parents are complicit in things like this, in trying to get attention for their kids and clicks. Look, I don't see this. It's very different, but I don't see it any different than back in the day, although this still happens, but this wasn't based on social media, on parents, because I believe that that's pimping out your daughter, who have them do these beauty pageants.
Like the little baby ones or whatever.
Right, the beauty pageants where the girls have, you know, 10 pounds of hairspray.
Yeah, and the flippers, right?
Yeah, I love how in the, what is it, tantrums and tiaras?
Toddlers and Tiaras.
Right.
Tantrums and Tiaras is Elton John's documentary.
Okay, I knew that came from somewhere. I mean, these like pageant moms, that's what they're called, right? Yeah. That are like totally nuts. They're nuts,
it's
right?
A stage mom,
and they would always be like, oh no, but my daughter loves this. I'm like, your daughter loves this because you've been putting this upon your daughter, and your daughter believes she loves this. Right?
I mean, I'm sure there are little girls out there who at least initially are like, "Ooh, I want to play dress up and do it."
Right, but I feel
there's that and then there's the other
right, but pendulum. That's not the thing with these pageants. It's not like, "Oh, we're gonna dress up, we're gonna be cute,
have a good time,
and have a good time and have fun." No, this becomes like freaking
deathmatch. Yeah.
Yes, celebrity deathmatch. Yeah. So I don't see it like any. It's different, but not too far. I see it in the same realm. Mm-hmm. I was just parents. Like pimping out their kids.
Yeah.
Because behind this rapper kid, there's either parents or guardians, or there's a team of adults making decisions for this kid based on this.
Right.
Right. So, you know,
Yeah.
It's messed up.
I mean, I'll say this, you know, thank you for allowing me, though, to recite that wonderful, you know, lyrics out of nowhere, but damn you for making me agree with Candace Owens.
Well, every now and then, you know, you could.
What is it? A broken watches right twice a day.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
but even somebody like Candace Owens. I mean, these are all people that live and die in terms of their audience on social media.
Yeah.
So that's why, like, you have to have a lot of discretion and a lot of sort of understand that a lot of people out there, especially on political matters, on each side. Mm-hmm. Go that far in making these elaborate arguments for clout. They do it for clicks and for engagement and all that. Because you know what? Even if you say the stupidest, most racist thing, people are going to come at you and they're going to comment
attention's
on your page.
Attention.
And that's going to go up the algorithm.
Yeah.
So
it's still attention.
It's still attention.
Yeah, it's a Tinkerbell syndrome.
That's a great song.
You don't want attention.
I can't remember any of the lyrics right now, but
why am I blacking out? I love this song.
Someone else. Yeah, you just want attention.
I know that dress is calling perfume regret, but you ain't coming home with me tonight.
You just want to. That's Charlie Puth.
Yes.
Yes. You know that Charlie Puth, what is it? He could sing anything in on key or in tone.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he's one of these people that if you go, he's like, oh yeah, that's a C minor or
and whatever. He can just bust out.
Yes.
Oh, yes. Then you should be bigger, Charlie Puth.
Oh, he's like musically, he's like a big deal.
Oh, okay, okay. Yeah. But I just say, like, I'm saying like commercially, he should be bigger.
Well, does that really matter?
No, but that's talent. Like, I think talented people like that should be bigger.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Does that really matter?
No, but I'm just saying. I'm just being pro Charlie Puth.
Pro Charlie Puth.
Yeah.
You know, now that we're singing about, talking about singers.
Yeah.
Or entertainers, if you will. I think a couple of weeks ago, I gave Jennifer Lopez a last soda.
You did.
And I don't know about you, but I feel that recently the internet and social media has been La tiene cogida con ella. Like they have been savagely critical of Jennifer Lopez.
For like existing.
Yeah. And it's like, what the hell? Like, yeah. I don't know if maybe because her latest project, I mean, it's the film, the album, and now a documentary on it, the This Is Me Now.
Yeah, and now a tour.
Like, I don't know if people are just like, okay, it's a lot, and like you keep talking about the same thing, you know.
That could be it.
Whatever reason, but it's like this vitriol against her. Like, there was this girl that I never comment on people that are haters because I don't care for the engagement. Yeah. But I had to, today actually on our account, on Pedro's account.
Oh, I think I know the comment you're talking about.
I said something like, wow, you're totally, like, are you bitter or what? No, I put, you sound really bitter. There was this girl, because there's a video of Jennifer Lopez that went sort of viral.
From her documentary, right?
From her documentary, that her hair, like, you could tell her hair is, like, undone.
Right.
And she's like, oh, my God, this kind of reminds me when I was, like...
It's J-Lo's version of casual.
No. But she, actually, yeah. No, when I saw that video, I'm like, oh, wow, this is Jennifer Lopez stripped down.
Right,
like,
right.
No hair, nothing.
Right,
no makeup. No team, right. Right. This is her, right? And, In the little clip, she's like, oh, my God, because I'm having my hair like this sort of reminds me when I was running around, you know, all over the block in the Bronx. And, like, this girl did, like, a video, like, oh, you know, you're stupid. And, you know, you went to, yeah, she was like, you're stupid. We don't like you. You know, go away. And, you know, and you, we don't all run around the block. And, you know, and you don't do anything for your community. And I'm a Puerto Rican woman. But it was, like, such, like, you could tell hate.
Mm-hmm.
And I always think about this stuff that I'm like,
where does that come from?
Why do you feel the need? Let's say you just don't care for her, to stop what you're doing and put out this like hateful video against a celebrity.
And in this case, a video, not even a comment.
Right. A celebrity.
Who doesn't care? Who doesn't know who you are.
It's entertainer. It's not even a politician. It's just an entertainer.
Like, right. There's no stakes here.
Right. And I just feel that Jennifer Lopez has been getting a lot of shit recently. And I say about her what I've said 100 times. You can think she sucks as a singer. You can think she sucks as an actress. That woman is where she is because she has worked her ass off. She has worked and worked and worked. And if you don't like her, that's fine. If you don't like her stuff, that's fine. But nobody can say that she's been lazy about it.
But they gave it to her.
You know, and a lot of people give her shit like, oh, you know, her early songs, you know, Ashanti's. It is Ashanti's vocals, which it is. I mean, she has a rivalry with my favorite singer of all time, Mariah Carey.
Anybody should be not defending her.
And I understand, you know, because she stole Mariah Carey's song. But even I understand that, especially in her first few records,
she had no control.
She had no control over that. That's label, politics, label backstabbing. She had no idea. You know, she didn't really have a say in that.
Right.
You know, she was at the beginning of her career. She had no power, no influence. So, yeah, that shit happens, and it happens all the time, and, you know, whatever. So it's like, back off Jennifer Lopez, people. Like, what the heck?
I there was an article the other day, and I wish I had read it, but I'm gonna bring it up anyway. That was about her and Justin Timberlake and the art of aging gracefully in a pop career.
Okay.
And I thought that was interesting because we've got, I mean, these are two, I feel very confident in saying that they're icons of pop culture. Like, I wouldn't even say pop music, of pop culture. But I think it's true, like, in the last couple of years, you know, like, J-Lo's album didn't do that great. I'm thinking Justin's single didn't do as great as they had hoped. And it's an interesting place because, you know, J-Lo's a little older, but Justin's about our age.
Yeah.
And these aren't people who are like, well, you know, you're 95 years old. What did you expect? And they're still very vital.
Yeah.
Like, they are out there performing. Mm-hmm. And it's just, again, it goes back to what I think we were talking about earlier, which is now with this disposable pop culture that we have, oh my God, I love you, I love you, I love you. I'm going to use you in every one of my TikToks, my reels. And okay, well, oh my God, it's been 10 minutes. I'm so over you. She's such a bitch. I can't stand him. Why does he even bother? It's like, wait, but the single just came out like at midnight.
Well, but I mean, I think that Justin Timberlake right now is suffering from a backlash.
Justin's backlash is a little different.
With your girls' fans. Yes, you know, with Britney's fans. That's a whole other topic we're not going to get into.
No, not at all. Not at all.
It's almost here.
You mean?
Yep. Our favorite tradition is back. The fair. It starts March 14th through April 7th.
Yes. Okay. And this year's theme is Space Venture. And I've seen the new ride called the X-Drive. Bro, that thing is like the kamikaze on steroids.
Oh, yeah. That's pretty insane. And of course, there's the exhibits and new shows this year, like the Amazing Bubble Factory and Space Adventure Thrill Show.
Okay. Okay. Rides, exhibits, shows. I mean, that's all good. But we know what our pet openings want to hear about.
The food. Dale, what can we look forward to?
Okay, are you ready? Korean corn dog, cinnamon roll sundae, banana cream pie nachos, elote sundae, Angela's pineapple and guava pizza, cheeseburger on a stick, buffalo chicken fries, and more.
Coño. Wow. Oye, new rides, shows, and food. Visit fairexpo.com to get entrance and ride tickets. Then enjoy them all at the fair from March 14th through April 7th, okay? You know we gotta say it. Be there.
The fair.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
But with that said about Justin Timberlake, it's like, yo, Justin. And listen, I like Justin's solo work just as much as anybody else. I freaking love his first album, his first two albums.
Yeah.
I like, and, you know, but I think his career ran its course. And hey, it happens to everybody. It was banging for a long time. And it's like, Justin, I think people
don't want
a new album from you. I think you know what people want. Yeah. So just give it to the people.
Just get it out of the way.
Get it over with. The reunion tour. Yeah.
Listen, Chris Kirkpatrick's not getting any younger.
And listen, you could have a set, as you probably will.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, do some solo stuff. Whatever. It's
of
all
course,
good.
Of course he will. Right. Yeah. And actually I would expect it to. You know, if I go to an NSYNC concert, I want Justin Timberlake material.
Yeah, do a medley.
You know what I think is so great with this like whole now crucifixion of Justin Timberlake? I love how like social media has totally now embraced JC. And every comment is like, oh, you know JC was a real singer. Oh, look at it. Look at JC carrying NSYNC as he always did. Oh, it was always about JC, but we were blinded by Justin's bullshit. It's like, shut up. You know?
I will say, I like JC's album.
I like JC's album
a lot.
JC's album, I'm sorry, was awful.
No, I like it.
That song, All Day I Dream of Sex, that song is awful.
Oh, I like the whole album. I didn't like the single.
Some girls dance with, it wasn't good. Yeah. Like, it wasn't good. And I don't know. Like, Justin's first album was good. Like, the songs there were good. He had a sound. He had a vibe.
Yeah, but did he produce Wild Orchid's second album? I don't think so.
Wait, what song was on Wild Orchid's second album? Was it Talk to Me?
No, that was the first album.
What song was on there?
It's Supernatural, I think, was the name of the album. I don't know why I know that.
What?
What? Oh, don't ask me to sing anything from that album. I just know that he produced the album.
Listen, Eta Fergie.
I was going to say, the album did so well that Fergie joined the Black Eyed Peas.
Right. Yeah, I feel that Wild Orchid was one of these groups that didn't have a big success, but somehow people know.
Yeah, it's and for those of you
who don't know, Wild Orchid was a trio. There were vocalists, and the lead singer was Fergie. Yeah.
2/3 of them were from Kids Incorporated.
Yes, was Fergie, who would eventually join the Black Eyed Peas and then go solo.
Yeah, back then she was Stacey Ferguson.
For some reason, when that song came out of there, "A Night of Prayer,"
the lead single. From
I think you know what I think about. I think about being a senior in high school and going to Ultra Zone to play laser tag.
Was it playing on the radio while you were driving?
I don't know. And eating Ritz crackers with cheese. Like, that is what I think about.
That is a very specific outing.
Yeah, no, I definitely did that somehow.
Sure.
On the box.
On the box. Música que tú controlas.
Oye, speaking of, as we're heading now towards spring, we need to figure out where we're going.
We do need to figure out where we're going.
I think we should just go to Texas and we could play "This Ain't Texas."
Every single time we post anything, it'll just have that.
We're at Bucky's. "This Ain't Texas." but just that part. "This Ain't Texas."
Oh, no, no. Yeah. Oh, no, no. That's it. Like, yeah. It's just you and I, no matter where we go, we look at the camera and we go, "This Ain't Texas." And it just ends.
This Ain't Viste, her country album is going to be called, Beyonce's country album is going to be called Cowboy Carter.
Cowboy Carter. Yeah. So close to being named after a Pee Wee Herman character.
Okay, you know what? Another thing, I don't understand why they're giving her shit about that either. She's from Texas. It's not like Beyonce's making a salsa album, although I would love to see that.
Okay, can we have that be Act 4? Because I know she planned a trilogy, but let's push it back. Let's do Act 4.
That'd be kind of hot.
I mean, she could probably do it.
She probably can. She's been to Cuba.
But that an expert does not make. But the only problem with her would be the pronunciation. I can't see her pronouncing Spanish properly enough to do an entire album. She could do a song.
What about salsa in English?
I'm not ready to embrace that.
Listen, if somebody could do it, it's Beyonce.
Listen,
the Beehive will be like, Beyonce invented salsa music.
It's the only time it's not cultural appropriation.
Right. Uh-huh. Beyonce invented salsa music. There's not a salsa singer better than Beyonce. Beyonce is salsa music. And from now on, it's going to be called Beyonce Sauce. Like, whatever.
If that happens, you realize that we're going to have to start just fighting humanity, right?
Right.
Because
you know, the Beehive is delusional.
Because I'm not letting her. She can take all the crowns she wants, but Celia's is Celia's.
Right, but you know.
Yeah.
And I say that, you know, the whole thing about the Beehive being delusional as a Beyonce fan.
Oh, yeah.
As I always say, I've liked Beyonce since No, 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 Part 1.
Yes. Yes.
You remember that song?
I don't, because everybody remembers the sequel.
Part 2.
Yeah.
Right. So you've never heard No, 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 Part 1?
I'm sure I have because you've played it, but I don't remember it.
Part 2, but slower. Right. So the one you know, it's "You Say No, 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 No." When it's really, yeah, yeah, yeah.
But how much slower? Yeah.
"You Say No, No, No. Boy, I know you want me. I could see it in your
eyes." Right,
eye.
Right.
Right. The original is Part 1. "You Say No, 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 No. When it's really, yes, yes, yes."
Are you serious?
Yes.
That's the only difference?
"You Say No, No, No." And she's like, "Boy, I know you want me. I can see it."
It's the same song. So it's like when Christina Aguilera did "Come On Over" on the album and then the single?
No, because like the original Part 1, it's sort of like a smooth R&B ballad.
Okay.
And then the remix, which is Part 2, which is a Wyclef Jean
version.
Yeah, yeah. Actually, Wyclef, you know, obviously he's not in the first part. Right. It's sped up and it's a remix and it's different.
But it's the same.
The melody and the lyrics are the same. So it's just slower, the original. Listeners, go back.
You know, there's
No, 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 Part 1.
There is a degree of brilliance in there.
In part one and part two?
And just being like, you know what we're going to do? We need another song for this album because we have to fill it out. No, we're just going to take it and speed it up.
No, and what probably happened was that the first one, I remember when the first one came out. Mm-hmm. I remember the video because of her, because right. she was gorgeous in the video. And it probably wasn't blowing up, you know?
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever heard that song on the radio. I saw it on the box, actually, back in the day. It probably wasn't blowing up. And they're like, you know, Wyclef Jean is hot now.
Let's do this.
So let's do this, you know? It is really good, though.
That's probably around the same time that he worked on the Gloria album.
With Gloria Estefan?
Yeah.
Wait. He has a song with her in her. What song is it?
Don't Release Me. Oh, that's the one where he goes, when the Cubans meet the Haitian Sicilians or something. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
And then, you know, Haitians and Colombian CIA want to watch. You know that for years.
No, but the IRS did.
For years. When Hipstone Night came out, I'm like, ¿Qué dice ella? CIA want to watch? I'm like, she's talking about watching something? Oh, it's like CIA
want to watch. Right.
Why CIA want to watch? That song is so good.
It's such a bop.
It is.
As the kids say. Although I don't think the kids say it anymore.
But what we learned from this is that Beyonce
is going to do a salsa album.
No, you know what? Act 4 will be salsa and Act 5 will be merengue.
Oh, okay. So she's doing the whole Caribbean.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, got it.
Because Beyonce invented the Caribbean.
She did.
Well, her fan. I know Beyonce knows she didn't invent the Caribbean.
But I don't think her fans do.
Her fans know.
No. They don't.
No. On the seventh day, God said, listen, I'm going to give it to Beyonce.
Yeah, that's actually, if you look at the spelling, it's actually called the Caribbean. Instead of Caribbean, the Caribbean.
Caribbean. Yeah.
Yes. Took me a minute, but the joke was there.
So now she's going to have another album on a horse.
Is she doing like what Britney did with the guitar? Like, she's like, I bought a horse, I'm using it.
She invented equestrian events.
Wow. The steeplechase?
Well, she already went up in space in that commercial.
That's true.
She's running SpaceX.
The next thing is just to time travel.
Yeah. I'm surprised her fans haven't said that she should run for president. I mean, get out of there.
Yeah, you know what? Just do it. Just give it a shot. Why not? Not the craziest election we've ever seen.
It certainly would not be the craziest election that we've seen. But anyway, so what else do we have?
I mean, we were being all jovial and all that. But so did you hear about a bill or law that went into effect this week here in Florida with regard to the homeless?
I did, but go ahead.
All right. So Governor DeSantis signed into law a ban on homeless people sleeping in parks, sidewalks, and other public spaces, calling it a solution to communities, quote unquote, plagued with homelessness. There was a news conference in Miami Beach, of course, because we know they do have a homeless problem, unhoused people problem. They also have recently started arresting homeless people who refuse to go to a shelter. What they have said is that these communities could, and I can't stress the word could enough, instead create camps away from neighborhoods and businesses approved by the Department of DCF. Most communities would have to offer security, sanitation, and behavioral health services to people staying at the camps. I will say this. This is a solution without a solution.
It's not a solution, but go ahead.
No, that's what I'm saying. It's a solution, quote unquote, without a solution. Great. Okay, you have to go to a shelter. Do you know the average shelter, has a limit. They can only house so many people. Mm-hmm. There's only so many shelters. Mm-hmm. So what do they do? Again, that's my question. It's like, okay, great. What do you want them to do? Mm-hmm. Oh, well, they should have, great. That thing about the camps, let's say it's a lovely place, right? Number one, where are they going to put it? Because nobody's going to want it near them. How are they going to pay for it? That will probably have to go through a tax, a vote. Nobody's going to vote for it. So
referendum.
Again, thank you. I was like, I couldn't remember the word. So again, what do you want them to do, right? Because God knows these are people who, majority of the homeless people, I would say a good 99.99999999% mm-hmm. are not there because they woke up one day and were like, I'm tired of four walls and three meals a day.
And paying
property taxes. I'm just going to be a happy hobo on the road. Mm-hmm. It's galling to me to basically say, like, well, you know, you're homeless, you can't sleep there, arrest them if they don't want to go to a shelter, or they go to a shelter and the shelter says, we're full up. Okay, what do I do now? What do I do now? You've got all the answers. What do I do?
Yeah, the homeless and unhoused, it's an issue with most cities, and especially larger cities.
It's growing. I get it.
It's certainly an issue. And, you know, this new Florida law that now it makes it illegal for them to be in many places. And for
essentially, it's illegal to be homeless.
Yeah. This new Florida law has pretty much made it illegal to be homeless because, yes, the law says that they have to do certain, they can go to certain camps and shelters and stuff like that. But, you know, the camps have to be approved by DCS and they don't exist. And we know how long that can take.
Right.
Homeless shelters, as you said, have a certain limit. And Miami has, like most large cities, a huge number of people that are homeless and unhoused. So if they can't be on the streets, they don't fit in homeless shelter. And
the camps don't exist.
They can go to camps that don't exist yet. Where are you going to put them? And then people want to like be like, well, it's not my problem. Well, what do you want to do with that? I mean, it's really like okay, it's not your problem until you start complaining about it. Okay,
right.
So where do you put them? Where do you put them? Because a lot of people like to be critical and say, well, you know, judgy on people that are that are unhoused and homeless. They want to be judgmental and, oh, that's their problem. And, oh, that's not my problem. And I have to work and I have to pay taxes and blah, 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 blah. Okay, you know.
Great.
Great. You're great. So, but where are you going to put them?
And a lot of these people do have mental you know issues,
but absent from
but I'm saying, but these are also people who would say, like, you know, oh, well, they should go get help. Okay, great, where do you fund it? Oh, I don't want
to
fund it.
But absent of the condition as to why they are homeless, right?
They're
not, they are here. So what are you going to do with them? What are you going to do with them? Because, yes, we could pass all these Florida laws. Like, these are the type of laws that are passed to get people riled up.
It's a game points.
These are laws that are passed to get people riled up, but these laws don't offer any solutions, right? These are laws that certain politicians pass so you could then, the electorate, be like, see, because the governor or this person, they're doing something. Okay, they're doing something. So now it's illegal for homeless people to be in places A, B, C, D. Okay, so what are you going to put? Where are you going to put them? They don't fit in a shelter, or shelters have limits. You want to put them in a camp that doesn't exist yet, okay? They can't be in certain streets. They can't be near businesses. Where are you going to put them? Especially in a city like Miami that there's very, very... It's a very dense area.
Right.
So where are you going to put them? And then I'm sure that if they were to go to a place that's not as dense, then the people there would have a problem with it, right? Because it's a very typical not in my backyard situation. Okay, great. Where do you want to put them? Where do you want to put them? And I keep saying that over and over again because this is something that riles people up. So, but nobody has a long-term solution for it. They just know how to complain and pass laws that make no sense but don't have a long-term solution, right?
Yeah, because
do you know what a long-term solution looks like? A long-term solution looks like, okay, we're going to pass this law, but we already have working certain – we already have certain campsites where we have either tents or we have some sort of housing for these people, whether it's tents, whether it's little homes, and this will be a halfway house in terms of there's many of them that need certain assistance in order to maybe help them find a job and help them find services. Some of them obviously have mental health issues that need to be addressed. Substance abuse issues, great, you know. Propose solutions for that. That is how you try to tackle this problem. This is a very big problem.
It's getting bigger by the day.
Let's not pretend that this is something that would be solved with one bill or one law.
Right.
This is something that would take years and years and years. But at the end of the day, and I've always said this, the problem with the homeless and the unhoused in terms of most politicians is that a lot of these are people that don't vote. So at the end of the day, politicians will say, they don't really do anything about it because these aren't people that vote. They don't need their vote. They don't want their vote.
In their eyes, they don't matter.
So they don't matter. So whatever. They say little things here and there. But it's an issue. I mean, look, when I lived downtown, there was a lot of homeless people that passed by where I lived. And
Camilla's house was near you.
And when I first moved, it was behind us. But even before, after that, there was several homeless people. And I remember that the building was like, don't talk. The building would pass memos mm-hmm. to the residents saying, don't talk to them. Because if you talk to them and you buy them food and you give them money, the more of them come back. And I'm like, really? This is what we're saying mm-hmm. to people? And I befriended several of them, right? Because I would see them every day. And I befriended several of them that I would either buy them something to drink or mm-hmm. I would give them a few dollars, whatever. And most of them, I heard their stories. And mm-hmm. these were all people, the ones that I spoke to were people that some of them had been on the streets a few years. I remember this lady in particular had come from Costa Rica, and she came here with like two friends, and one of the friends died, and one, you know, so she didn't have a system here, a family system here. You know, I think she was undocumented, and one thing led to another, and she ended up on the streets, and she had been on the streets for years, you know, and I'll never forget that lady in particular. I had been out late and I had come home late and I needed to walk the dog. And it was one of these days that it was like 40 some degrees in Miami and it was really windy because remember I lived right in front of the bay. Yeah. So it was really windy at night in front of my building. Mm-hmm. And I was walking the dog and it was one of these like, oh my God, I got to take the dog really quick to walk and like, you know, for her to do her thing and rush back up because the conditions were really bad. It was like 2 a.m. And I saw this woman outside by herself, and she was struggling. And I was like, I can't unsee that.
Right.
Like, I can't go upstairs and go conscious and, like, pretend I didn't see that. So I was like, oh, my gosh. Like, what do I do? So then I you know, I was like, do you need something and whatever? So the building at that time, Marina Blue, it had, like, a little – like where the CVS now has like a little overhang.
Okay, like a little alcove.
Yeah, overhang. Mm-hmm. And I told her, come here. And I told her, if anybody gives you crap, you tell them that so, you know, Darian right. from this apartment number says that you can be here. And they will call me. I was like, if anybody gives you crap, you tell them. You give them my name and my apartment number. Because it was like a little overhang there. Mm-hmm. And you remember Marina Blue had like a 24-hour pizza place?
Yes, yeah.
So I got her like a piece of pizza, and I got her and like the guy that was working there at the time. I'm like, hey, you know, do you mind mm-hmm. if she like sticks around here for a little bit? Yeah, you know, whatever. Warmth. Do you need for me to be down here? I'll be down here if that's the case. And he was totally cool about it because it was like, oh, I can't unsee that. I can't go upstairs having seen that woman. Right.
La la la, you know? La la. This didn't happen. Yeah.
So you know, these are people that, you know, you pass by them and you pay no attention to them. It's like they don't exist. But these are all people that have stories. These are all people, you know, these are all somebody's son or daughter, somebody's sibling, you know, maybe a parent. And they're in that condition. And I've always thought, look, the homeless problem is a really big issue and everywhere, not only here, around the world. And I don't think, as you said at the beginning, I don't think that's a decision that anybody ever makes. Or that's not a decision that you make for being lazy or careless. That's something that you fall into. Yeah. And I will tell you this, though. You. And I've talked about this here on the show. You know, from about 2009 to about 2014, I did a substantial amount of foreclosure defense of everyday people who had jobs, steady jobs, who lost their jobs and were losing their homes. And I had people as clients that didn't have family here. They didn't have many friends. And they would tell me, if we lose our house, we don't know where to go. Because a lot of them, you know, this was during the recession, the Great Recession, that people lost their jobs. And I can't tell you how many families were like, you know, we're immigrants. You know, they were here legally, you know, but they didn't have family here.
Right.
They didn't have, like, at least good enough friends that you can go live with, right? And they're like, we don't know what to do if we lose our house. Like, we don't know where to go. Those are people that were one step away from being homeless. And these are everyday working class people.
But isn't the statistic that, I forget the percentage, the number, are just one paycheck away from being out on the street?
Yeah. Especially now, that things are so expensive.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Yeah, that's sort of sucks. So. Hey everyone, it's DJ. Y oye, you know we've been digging on Kawi Lemon Lime Soda for a bit now. The tart, sweet, bubbly taste of Gawi Lemon Lime is perfect for thirst quenching, and it's been a hit at all of our Bing Bong Boyo pop-ups. People love it. Not to mention, it's been a crisp, refreshing soda since 1948 without an aftertaste like some other sodas. Just saying. Así que, get your Gawi Lemon Lime at your store or even online. And if your store doesn't carry it, pues pídelo and start enjoying the authentically Cuban taste of Gawi Lemon Lime today. Gawi Lemon Lime, que rico es.
We need to figure out what anyway, how to help.
All this has made me really thirsty. Is it Gawi time? Last soda time?
It's time for a Gawi. Yes.
Limón con lima, lima, limón. Lo trae Gawi, que vacilo. En la respuesta para este calor. Tómate un Gawi, lima, limón. Gawi.
All right.
Okay, so I'll go with my Gawi first. I always give the first Gawi.
Not always.
I actually want to give the first Gawi, and we could talk about this a little bit. So I actually saw this week a movie that was nominated for an Academy Award, American Fiction.
Oh, I've been wanting to see that.
Have you seen it?
No, not yet.
So,
what is it playing on?
I think Amazon. I had to rent it.
Oh, okay.
It was like $3-4. So, Pero Primos, I invite you to watch this movie. It was one of these movies that the moment I saw the trailer, I was like, I'm going to like this movie.
Yeah.
I
love the cast. Like
it. Yeah, the cast is great. But after watching it, it is so... I love movies like this. It is so intelligently written because the movie offends everybody without offending anybody.
Like, equal opportunity.
Yes, right. Because it's calling out so many things at so many levels, from racial to bullshit to culture to just the American kind of psyche as it all, you know, race relations. Like, it's calling it in so many levels, from the standpoint of academia to the standpoint of, like, writers. Like, you know, how so many people are successful writers and it's bullshit,
yeah,
right? And it's so intelligently written. And the person who wrote the screen, it's based on a book, but the person who wrote the screenplay, his name is Cord Jefferson, and he won the Academy Award for Best Screenplay, actually.
I think he was also the director, no?
I'm not sure, but he wrote the screenplay and he won the Academy Award this year. And it's like, wow, after you watch this, you realize, like, this movie is like a masterpiece, like, in terms of the way it was written. And it's just, I loved it. I absolutely loved it. And it's with Jeffrey Wright. And it's so funny that Jeffrey Wright, you know how it's really weird. I'm like really bad with certain actors. Like, I'm like, what? Because I'm the type of person, you know how in novelas, right, you have people that come back and just, you know, they have glasses and everybody's like, right, who is it? I'm like that.
Yes, you are.
Times you're like, look at this person. I'm like, who is that? I'm like, it's so-and-so. And I'm like, it is? And you're like, yes, it just got a haircut.
Yeah, exactly. It's like they have highlights now.
And I'm like yeah. Really? And it's funny because Jeffrey Wright has such a huge, huge part in Bond. In James Bond.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Yeah.
He's in three of the Daniel Craig
yeah,
movies.
Yeah, you're right.
And he has a huge role. And I was like, I know this man. Like,
are you serious?
Yes. And I'm like, I knew that Jeffrey Wright had done James Bond. But
you didn't know that was Jeffrey Wright.
But I'm like, wait, it's Jeffrey Wright. But he's bald. Like, I was like, oh, wait, is it Jeffrey Wright from James Bond? Like
oh my God. I can't wait here.
I'm like really, really bad at that.
You're not good at that. Yeah, no.
It's like somebody puts a pair of glasses. I'm like, who is that?
Yeah, you, Superman would totally get away with it.
Yeah. Clark Kent to me, I'll be like, who's, like, what? Yeah,
I don't know who Superman is. I don't know at all.
You don't look like Superman to me. No. You don't have the same bone structure.
No, at all. Not even the same haircut. No. No. Not at all.
Superman doesn't wear glasses. Hello.
Duh. You're a superhero's dream.
But anyway, I recommend it to you, Pero Primos, to our listeners. It's great. It's absolutely great. It was so enjoyable.
Yeah. I'm going to make sure to catch it because I've been wanting to see it. So my last Gawi is actually going to go to two people who I think we've probably given them Gawis before. I mean, they've been on the show before. But in the last couple of weeks, I've had interactions separately with the owners of Sandwich.
Danny and Rosa.
With Danny.
We love Danny and Rosa.
With Danny and Rosa. And, you know, I have to say, The interaction with Rosa was actually fantastic. It was at one of the South Beach Wine and Food Festival events for, you know, people who are participating. And out of nowhere, she said to us, you know, we were talking about the grand tasting and it's such a big undertaking and we have this other event. And out of nowhere, she's just like, hey, if you guys need a space, you can use the, you know, the what they call the Ventanita location, mm-hmm. which is, you know, it's a smaller location. She's like, so you can have all the space you want. You can, you know, it's after hours. Nobody's going to bother you. Just let me know. And I was like, wow, that's just so wonderful. Like, because we didn't ask. We didn't even hint at like, right. oh, if only we had a place to do only. It, you know? And she just offered outright. And, you know, the other day, this week, actually, I bumped into Danny. He was, you know, preparing for their new Coral Gables location. And, you know, we had a conversation and what have you. And then afterwards, I sent him a text just kind of saying how, again, how I admire them and this and that. And, you know, how we look to them for Bim Bam Boyo. And his response was beautiful. But in a nutshell, what I would concentrate on is, you know, he said to me, which he has said to us before, he's like, I am here. Pick my brain. You guys have a great, you know, you guys can do it. I think you can do it. Just, you know, when you're ready, let me know. And mm-hmm. the fact that both these people, you know, they know us, but I mean, it's not as if that we have this, like, you know, they're not our family. They're right. not our, you know, we've known them relatively short period of time, and they are just so giving and genuine mm-hmm. and just fantastic. Again, that's why whenever somebody says, oh, where should I go to eat? Sandwich. Like, I always you know, point people there, because
I mean, it doesn't hurt that they also have the best Cuban sandwich.
Fair enough. But, you know, I always make it a point to, like, you know, gear people towards there, right? And, you know, and sometimes you forget that there are good people out there.
Yes.
And it's nice to be reminded of it. Mm-hmm. And it's also nice that two people who have such great giving spirits found each other.
Yes.
Because that's not always the case. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I just want to give a kawi. And, you know, and by the way, Danny, Rosa, I think you should start serving kawi mm-hmm. at Sandwich.
I think the kawi will go great with their chicharrones.
Absolutely.
Or, well, my favorite thing there is, right?
The Cuban nachos.
Yeah. So do you know what happens to me every time I go to Sandwich? I told Rosa the other day when we were talking to her.
Well, I do, because I heard you.
Yeah. Okay. So I know everything on their menu's fire.
Yeah.
But I like the classic, the Cuban sandwich. Cuban sandwich with the Cuban nachos and the croqueta. That's my order always there.
Yeah.
And every time I go there, I'm like, I'm going to order something else. I'm going to order something else. And I don't, because then I'm like, no, but I want the Cuban sandwich.
That,
like,
happens to me.
That is what I want. I know their pan con bisté is fire. Really, I know the croqueta preparada. I know all that. But I want the Cuban sandwich.
Damn it.
So it's like, it's sort of the same thing every time I go to Cold Stone. Okay. Every single time. They could have, like, the most decadent flavor of the month, the most other stuff. I'm like, no, I'm going to get this. I'm going to change it up. And then I end up, y'all have the sweet cream with, like, strawberries and chocolate.
You're a man who knows what he likes.
But no, Danny and Rosa from Sandwich, they're absolutely great. And, you know, we've said it 1,000 times. They are an inspiration to us.
Yeah.
Because they're two people that were both professionals. You know, she was in law like I am. And
he was corporate.
He was corporate. I mean, they were both professionals, and they were like, you know, we've had enough of this bullshit. We're going to create our own path.
Yeah, and we've all been there.
And you know what? It takes a certain kind of person, a certain kind of spirit to do that.
Yeah,
especially when you're a professional and you're comfortable financially, you know,
and have two kids,
and have kids,
because it's one thing, you know, to do it when you're kidless,
right, or, you know, it's another thing when you're, like, you know, 22, right. And you don't have a lot of things tying you down, and you could say, you know, I'm gonna quit my job and do this. But again, these were people that were professionals, that were making a good living, yeah, that had kids, had commitments, had responsibilities, and we're like, you know, We're gonna take that leap. And they went for it.
And,
you know,
and God bless them. They have succeeded.
Because Danny, like, quit his job, and he was like, guess what?
Yeah, politeness week is oval.
You know, and I always say it, like, the thing with Sandwich is that, I mean, I could imagine.
On paper, it sounds like a horrible idea.
It's a horrible idea. Yeah, we're gonna open up a Cuban sandwich shop. I'm like, you could get a Cuban sandwich.
You've been to Miami, right?
7-Eleven. Like, yeah. I think every 10 feet.
At one point, McDonald's offered a Cuban sandwich. God. But I'm just saying, you could get it everywhere.
You know? You could get it everywhere. But they had their own take on it, their own vision. And they certainly are an inspiration to us and to Bim Bam Boyo. So
yes.
I hope one, you know, Bim Bam Boyo can have 1/10 of the success they've had.
Legit.
So, anyway, well, these are two good last kawis.
Yes.
So, absolutely. Anyway, everybody, we hope you listened, laughed, and learned. And as always, remember to grab your croqueta, your pastelito, and your kawi. And thank you so much for joining us, everyone. Have a great week.
All right, cuídense, mi gente. Bye.
Pero Let Me Tell You is co-hosted by Darian Borges and Ismael Llano, produced by Ismael Llano, and our theme, Pero Let Me Tell You Freestyle, is composed by Michael Angelo Lomlaplex, the official gay guy. And don't forget to subscribe and leave us a review on iTunes.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to Quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.